The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Always appreciative that you're here with us. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is alongside as well. But it is a Friday, and no time to lose because we have about 35 topics to get to. I counted. With Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, he joins us now in the studio to talk about all kinds of things.
And here we are on
whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino. He's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
I completely botched that.
No, I botched it. I should have anticipated. You know what this is? We're groggy because, you know, Gilly's prepping for a show at 5 a.m. and then nonstop live wagering college basketball from 3:30 until about 10:30 till the Arizona or the Hawaii game ends.
Handicapping tennis throughout as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So in all honesty, you probably work 16 hours a day, right?
Kelly and I talk about this all the time, right? So Kelly's handicapping golf. Like when you have like five tennis tournaments and there's, you know, earlier in the week, it's worse because as the brackets move on and you get to the quarters and the semis, it's a little easier towards the end of the week. But at the beginning of the week, there's like 70 matches, right?
You have to love it. If you don't love it, this is not the job for you. I've heard people say, oh, gosh, Sunday, I got to watch the Sunday night football game and I'm already tired. I want to go shopping with my sister. And it's just like, this is not probably your role if that's the case.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right. So we talk about that all the time. It's like, yeah, you don't just show up and do 2 hours. You're working all the time on stuff. It's a great life. Don't get me wrong. But what's the line? It's a tough way to make an easy living, they say.
Well, and do what you love and you won't have to work a minute your entire life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, we have tons of things to talk about, a lot of which is, and I'm flattered by this because you're always listening. There was some stuff that we talked about yesterday, and I'll just go through them in no particular order. One was the guy who, if you missed the show yesterday when Crack was on, Crack Thursdays, Unscripted, we talked
love
about
Crack.
Oh, it's fantastic. Just completely off the cuff. And we brought up this guy in Pennsylvania who won in quotes, a $57,000 jackpot on a slot machine, but because he had self-reporting being a mechanism with gaming and with compliance, where if you are a problem gambler, it is a mechanism to sort of defend against yourself, defend against your own bad instincts. And so because he had self-excluded, $57,000 that he won, he didn't win it. They withheld it from him. And you believe, which I think is an interesting thing, you believe he still has a case.
Well, I think it'd be fascinating. You should call Bob Nersessian, who's like a gaming lawyer. And so I know he signed the disclaimer saying, you know, that he's foregoing his rights to any future jackpots when he does this. However, there is a precedent with lots of cases. Like if a casino says maximum bet $1,000, if a sports book says max bet college basketball $1,000, and I say I want $3,000, once they print the ticket, or if I go to a blackjack table and I bet $3,000, I have action. I have the casino, despite the rule, they have accepted the wager. So once they book the bet or they let me bet it, my understanding is that if I win, I get paid my full amount. So the fact that you had this rule that he's not allowed to wager and he's not eligible for the jackpot, but they're accepting all these wagers. And if he's registered, if he has a player's card, I would think that that would trump the previous agreement that the fact that the casino is taking this action. I also think it's a stupid rule and the legislators need to change it because here's why.
Yeah, no, I
You're
get it.
Giving problem gamblers a huge disincentive to ever sign up because like, oh, God forbid I ever hit a jackpot. I'm the biggest Dumbo in the world. I put my name on this no jackpot list.
Well, it's interesting because it's probably a state by state thing, right? Because Vital Vegas was pointing out on Twitter yesterday to me that if this was in Nevada, right, that the person would have gotten the jackpot and then they would have been removed from the premises.
Sure.
But he signed to language that apparently was very explicit, like you're not entitled to any winnings that you have. But you made the point, or some of us made the point off air, if not on, which is, okay, but what if he went in there and lost money? Where's that money go?
So I don't know. It's going to be fascinating because some lawyer will pursue this.
And it's shocking how fast my buddies like Richard Munchkin, that's so good he's not my buddy, but he's a great blackjack player, probably one of the top five in the world.
And a gentleman, by the way.
And a fantastic guy, yeah. and 100 times smarter than you, me, or anyone else. Like, how come when he walks in a disguise within 5 seconds, they can like have security say, I'm sorry, sir, you're not allowed to be playing.
Yeah.
And yet this gentleman, somehow losing gambler, not nearly the same level of scrutiny to make sure he's not playing in the casino.
It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. What ends up ruling the day in terms of the law there. The other thing I talked about yesterday, or one of the other things, was parlays. Bill and I got into a parlay discussion. I don't know how you felt I did on that, but I sort of gave the three acceptable reasons to actually bet them. I also allowed at the end, if anybody listened to the clip, I actually allowed that in tennis, I still do them. But I don't even think about doing it in any other sport because tennis, I know I have an edge. But you wanted to make a point about those, because we actually got a question about this earlier. You wanted to make a point about folks who play two-leg parlays. And then once they hit the first, they behave in a certain way.
Yes. And just anyone who missed the segment yesterday, basically, and this is basic strategy, the pros know this. You play parlays to circumvent limits. You play parlays to do correlations. You play parlays to look like a Dumbo.
That's right.
To preserve
those are
the
three.
Your playing lifetime. And also you can play parlays for special promotions. A place might play a two-team parlay of 14 to 5. So that's like laying minus 105. So you get extra half points on a parlay card or, you know, better promotion. But cancel all that. None of that applying. The problem, I see this all the time. People like trying to look smart that are really stupid. All right.
And this bothers you more than anything.
More than anything. In fact, to the point where even if someone is a good handicapper, I will never recommend them when they give this out to clients because it's just so wrong. And it's not my opinion. It's not what Steve Fezzik thinks. You take 100 geeks from the University of Chicago, math geeks, and you ask all 100 independently, who do they agree with? They're all going to agree with me. Mm-hmm. So now maybe all 100 of these math geniuses are wrong. And you're right. But probably the University of Chicago people, right? Namely, so you parlay two minus 240 baseball favorites, and the first one gets home. And now the Dodgers are playing the Reds, and they're still minus 240. The line's still the same. And here they come. Oh, let's lock in a profit because my parlay was minus 100. I didn't lay minus 240. I'm laying minus 100 on my ticket. No, you're not. You're laying minus 240. The first bet has won. You've won 100. Now you have $340 basically risk to win 140. On the Dodgers. So they say, I want to lock in a profit. And I want to play the Reds, you know, plus 210. All right. You're not locking in a profit. You're locking in a loss. You're essentially laying minus 240 and taking plus 210. And then sometimes like, oh, I want to play the run line then. And then I got a big middle. It's all wrong on every layer. And every single competent math guy and sports bettor will tell you the same thing.
I think you made this point about this particularly, but I believe it applies to beyond sports betting. I think this is more of like a human condition thing. Betting, it really is a reflection of the human condition, which is people would rather be wrong their way than right your way.
You know, I was having an argument. Absolutely. And
it's beyond sports betting. I think that's just human nature.
It's beyond sports betting. And I'm guilty. We're all guilty of this. Yeah. We have so much conviction. Think about your feelings about global warming. All right. No one really knows what's going on, okay? You look back in the 70s, it was cold as all heck, and it felt like we were going into an ice age, right? And everyone's talking about, like, all this industry is going to create an ice age. Personally, I think global warming is a thing, and I'm concerned about it. My best friend isn't worried at all. He has so much conviction on this, and I'm like, John, neither one of us can be sure. There's not enough data. It's incomplete, imperfect. It's like a poker. It's like a range of hands. You can say, my opinion is this, on a lot of things, but you just can't be sure. And so many things in life. Now the difference is in gambling, mathematics and the like, it's different. Like when you're playing a game like roulette on an unbiased wheel, or you're playing craps or you're playing video poker, the math is the math and there's no debating the math.
No debating the math whatsoever. Okay. There's also something, and this will bleed into the next segment, but there's also something going on here at Circa right behind us. With baseball win totals, they have put out, and we should give Circa there, what do the kids say, give them their flowers for putting these out. These are, you know, in the NFL, we're kind of used to them now. And usually when Circa does the NFL ones, they're sort of staggered on a couple layers on each side of the actual pre-flop season win total. So
these are the alternatives. The alternatives. So they're higher and lower. By example, in football, if a season win number is 9.5, usually it's a game or two games. They'll go 10.5, 8.5, up and down. So in baseball, since it's a longer season, Circa has taken it to a little wider where it's 6 games plus and minus.
Correct. That's what I was going to say. But you, the reason I bring this up is because I always love getting a text that begins with, my son and I did the binomial distribution. And so you guys figured out these are great bets.
It's really fun. So for the binomial distribution loves betting that taking the extra game or taking the extra 6 games in baseball, because the it's complicated because the binomial distribution assumes, let's just assume a 500 baseball team playing another average team for 162 games. And if you just flip coins 162 times, it would say, wow, I want to play under 87. Or I want to go ahead and play over 75, all right? And I'm willing to lay minus 250. Now, here's the hard part. It's not just a binomial distribution because these teams, we don't know if we have a fair coin. Let's say a team's lined at 81 games, Tampa Bay, for instance.
Right.
Maybe they're better than 81. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're worse. We're not going to find out till they actually play. Further, as the season progresses, the coin does become biased. Injuries, roster changes, etc. Look no further than like the White Sox last year that by early May, we realized that pre-flop number, whatever it was, 70, can't recall, was just so wrong. And this was just almost an all-time worst, it was an all-time worst baseball team. So the coin can be biased. So the binomial distribution calculating based upon the anchored pre-flop number is going to overvalue how often you're going to land within the number. And the whale capper figured this out in football.
He did. He was the first person to bring it up.
And all accolades to him, because I kind of poo-pooed it. Like, he was like, take plus 200 and give up a game. And he was absolutely right.
His sentence in English was, the notion that those are priced correctly is probably a fallacy.
Right. And the reason being is they're priced based upon the binomial distribution only.
We'll get to what Steve actually bet on that and so much more. Steve Fezzik, Numbers Game, VSiN, coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game live from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. With Steve Fezzik hanging out with us on a Friday. Fezzik Fridays. Messed up the intro earlier. My bad. Sorry about that.
No, I messed it up.
Well, no, I think it was both of us. Anyway, real quick, because you had a bunch of stuff you want to talk about. You did bet the Royals in these alternate season win totals we were talking about. What did you bet?
So I like the handicap. I heard Royals under 83.5. I do think there should be a fine.
Heard from?
You.
No, no, Adam Burke.
Adam Burke on this show.
Adam's
going to get mad at me. $40 fine because he said 83.5, and that wasn't like readily available. But that's fine. He's still making me money, so I'm happy. And I like this whole handicap. To summarize, Adam said that the Royals are overvalued, and is it Ragans, like, you know, their ace might be as good, but he's not going to be better, and they're pitching suspect, and all these reasons why the Royals.
Yeah.
He likes under 83.5. Or 82.5. But so I'm like, okay, let me take a look at these. Benson put them up, these alternative season wins. What's this? The Royals are 88.5. The Royals are not winning 90 games. The Royals, somehow overachieve again to the point that their noses bleed for 5 years, they'll win 86 games. So I love that extra 6 games where I literally feel the ceiling is like 87 wins if everything goes right for them.
They have a very frustrating offense beyond Bobby Witt and Pasquantino in the middle. So if you were bullish on the Royals, to have to sit through that offense on a nightly basis is going to be a tough thing.
And Burke brought up the point. I love this, that Witt is not as good on the road. So they're extremely vulnerable to a long road losing streak.
And I don't know if Lugo is going to be as good. Like, I mean, I think to me, I'd be more willing to bet that he won't be. Anywhere near what he was last year in his near Cy Young season. He finished second, obviously, to Tarek Skubal. Circa deserves its props for putting those up. No pun intended. They deserve their accolades for putting those up. And if it weren't for Circa, how would you describe the current state of affairs here in the lovely state of Nevada?
Well, the good news is that Nevada has, you know, 80% of the bookmakers in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. But the bad news is that it is a wasteland, despite all those Hall of Fame bookmakers. I got to tell you, without Circa, Colorado, Illinois, Ohio, you know, Pennsylvania would all be much more, not just more attractive, much more attractive in order to play. And in fact, there's a lot of sports bettors that used to live in Nevada, and then they moved to Colorado. Yes. And because you had more access to books. And frankly, if you're trying to bet on apps, now these books, they'll talk a big game. Oh, we'll take bets from everyone. Yeah. If you're physically in their property, you take your helicopter over and hang out at their one property. I assure you, if you're betting on the app and you're not betting on Circa, I mean, you're getting $100 limits on college basketball totals at that.
I don't want to go through it again, but like, you know, MGM and William Hill, they used to actually take bets, right? But now it's all, and I love those guys over at the Aria. They're my buddies because I'm there all the time. But even there, if you gave them truth serum, they're like, the apps kind of didn't, instead of making it a better landscape, it ruined things in that, you know, I'll give the NBA draft story again, where for those who missed it, where I was trying to bet somebody to go number one, a bet likely to lose. And by the way, did lose. And I had a day where it took hours, right? Where first of all, MGM wants to put it on the app. Okay, fine, I'll do it on the app. But then when you do it on the app, they limit you. The algorithm limited you to like $30. I'm like, well, if you were going to do that, I wouldn't have given you my money. Give me my money back. Okay, here's your money back. Which, by the way, I'm not sure if they're supposed to do that or if they just did it for me. Then I go to Caesars. That was, MGM was glorious compared to Caesars. Caesars then spins the number on me after I make the, you know, so it's, if you can't rely on those two pillars, right? In that way, if you have those experiences and you're just down to Circa, yes.
And Westgate and South Point are paper tigers. It's true. You go to the window, they'll take a big bet, but not on the app. And believe me, as soon as you show that you're a competent sports bettor, you're talking about $100. So how the world has changed. I've got a copy, Blackjack Forum from 2000, and they're talking about you should be sports betting. It's 25 years ago. They're like, no camouflage necessary. No heat. No barring. This, my friends, is outdated.
He's got props and he's throwing them behind his shoulder. All right, let's talk about something else. This is another, like, it's as old a topic as sports betting is, but something rankled you yesterday, which is our buddy Spanky was talking about. And by the way, Spanky is right about the premise, but you just wanted to sort of be a little more nuanced about it.
By the way, and I love Spanky. Everyone loves Spanky. He's made a lot of money betting. So here's a guy who has been extremely successful in his own sports betting and has branched out and hosts Bet Bash. Tremendous job across the board. So he came out, I was surprised, on his podcast. He basically was cursing out everyone who is selling picks in the industry. And his point was, don't give any of them a penny. All right. Cursing them out. And
people who sell picks.
Yes. And I'll use an analogy. It would be like saying, don't play blackjack. You know, look at the universe, like almost everyone loses. But everyone doesn't lose. And anyone who actually studies blackjack and works on their game does win. They have the advantage, all right? So the same thing really is true. Buyer beware. It's like finding a financial advisor, all right? The vast majority of financial advisors aren't going to help someone who is doing their own research because they can't give enough extra acumen to your investments to pay for their time. Okay. It's just too expensive. So you got to find the right way to find the experts. And I cited people like Brad Powers, Mark Lawrence, you know, like with their newsletters and how powerful those can be. It's like, who wouldn't pay $10 to get a Brad Powers newsletter or a Mark Lawrence newsletter or to go ahead and get, you know, an annual service? Dr. Bob's like self-documented. And he's been a winning handicapper for 30 years and no one questions, you know, I mean, staying up all night and he's working so hard and the like, yo, you did this and you're in this industry. Yep. So for Spanky to come out and say and curse people out saying, don't give anyone a nickel. And my understanding, here's a guy that made, you know, maybe millions following people that do exactly this and paying for that information. It just seemed inconsistent but you're right. In general,
He's right.
In general, if you think you're going to make money finding some sharp former NFL cheerleader that is selling picks and buy her picks and invest in them, well, you're a little naive, I think.
Yeah. No, I do. I understand what you're saying, though. This is as old a topic as it is. We've gone years without even talking about this because I find it like a hackneyed topic. But generally, you know, once in a while, it's worth bringing up because there's always new listeners. And certainly at Sirius XM 158, we have new listeners who perhaps haven't heard this discussion before, which is, yes, generally, it's as old a scourge on the business as there has ever been. Right. It gave maybe more than anything, or maybe as much as anything, gambling a bad name because it was always, you know, the guy screaming loudest, right, on TV.
That's your children's, children.
I'm 60 and one, or you have the Vegas Daves of the world who literally, like, again, I'll go back to the Action Showtime docuseries, right, which I had a part in sort of consulting on. And I remember beforehand, I was like, I don't know, you guys, you shouldn't even give him the platform. And they were like, no, don't worry. It's so clear what a scammer he is. It's so exposed on this.
He drives a Lambo, though. He must be doing great.
And that was the reaction, right? That was the reaction. People were just as likely. Yes, there was a group that was like, oh, my God, yes, total scam. But there was a group just as likely. The reaction was, yeah, but he's got that villa in Cabo and he's got that car. So looks good to me. Right. So
Sean Perry now. Right.
Yeah. Which I haven't been following.
Which my understanding is he's a tremendous poker player. And if you need some gambling advice, he probably could give you good poker advice. I don't know. I don't know the man.
You know, so I guess what I'm saying is it's as old as the industry itself. But yes, people should take a moment to say there are a couple exceptions. And I get it, you know, if there are a couple exceptions, like a Dr. Bob, for instance. Like
Todd Wishnev. Why not get Todd Wishnev information? He's giving out his information, what he's playing live. You know what? That's valuable information. And you know what? You can get it by giving him a donation.
Yeah, he's not even requiring a payment. That's right. But, you know, like it's a funny thing because you can make a claim that also cannibalizes itself, right? Like if you're good, you know, you sort of like, let's take Carl Sack, right? NBA guru who's on. There is no better. And when it comes to his NBA totals, it is like clockwork how good they are, right? So I would argue him, oh my God, you will make your money back tenfold. So, you know, at some point, do they figure out your edge?
Exactly. So that's, and here's where the asterisk has to come in. I've gotten into it with Right Angle Sports because on their site, they've said, be a favorite to win. I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. You're not necessarily a favorite. If you just smoke dope all day and then 5 minutes before the games go, oh, let me see what Right Angle's. Oh, they're on the Kent Akron over, which I'm on tonight at 155. Well, now it's 157. All right. So if you think you're just going to play Right Angle's plays at post after the line moves pay for his service and be a favorite to win,
that's the problem.
That is exactly the problem. So, but having no one would debate, hey, it's valuable to know who Right Angle has, and if I could get it for a dollar and get it when it's being released, you know, it's just a question, am I betting enough to justify the cost?
Yeah, I think as long as we can have a nuanced discussion about it where his premise is absolutely 100% right, but just know that there are certain valuable people and certain valuable ways to view all
there are
stuff.
Exceptions to the rule, and just having the general information of knowing who's on what is valuable.
More with Fezzik on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. With the NBA and NHL in full swing, the PGA Tour underway, March Madness about to tip off, and MLB opening day just around the corner, the action never stops. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription for as little as $9.99. You'll get a daily email with all the plays from hosts and their guests, expert analysis, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make the smartest picks. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is from, as my screen goes ballistic on that, this is from, let's see, we'll start with Steve the Proxy. Just stopped by a Bourbon Street bar here in Vegas and was surprised to see a numbers game on side-by-side with ESPN. Total population at the moment, me and one other video poker D-Gen at 7:30 a.m. Safe to say, ANG has made the big time. Oh, love it when you and
live at Bourbon Street, baby.
That's right, baby. We've made it big time. Joe C., he might be at Indian Wells. We'll see if we'll see each other at Indian Wells. This is from Money Caperletti talking about our NBA stuff. He says there's a national book that allows NBA award parlays. Good luck for the for the defensive player of the year consolation if Joker wins MVP. ND Money, maybe secretly Daniel F. Berger and Danielle freaking Collins are siblings. I thought about that when I was talking about Berger. C. Spackler from Caddyshack. I'm looking for an NBA MVP runner-up bet for my Jokic money. Anyone know a trading platform that will take it? Trophies for everyone. No, you're not going to get a runner-up market anywhere. By the way, he has Jokic for MVP, Wemby for Defensive Player of the Year parlay. Oh, yeah. That's not happening. Buddhist man, classic moment when Kelly was sent scrambling to the WTA players listing webpage on his laptop right after Gil cited Anna Karenina in comparison to the VSiN MLB betting guide. D-Gen Southern Gent would never claim to be smarter than Fezzik, but I'm curious if he has an opinion on round robin slash parlaying tennis picks. In my opinion, it's the sport that round robins and parlays are the most EV due to highly volatile markets and unpredictable start times.
All right, let me address this. This is complicated stuff, all right? Growing your bankroll. If you're a 55% handicapper and you parlay everything and you play round robins, by the way, if you're not playing money lines, but if you're playing round robins and spreads, you should play by threes because the three-teamer pays 6-1. And it's actually a better payout. You're laying a little less than minus 110. If you hit 55%, your ROI spikes through the roof versus making individual bets. So people will say, my ROI is so much higher, I should just be playing parlays. No. And the reason is they're inherently more dangerous. So if you go, warning, math geek stuff, you have to bet less on the parlays because inevitably you'll have a bad patch. And if you have a bad patch playing, you know, wheeling, and you can do like eight games you like. One, you don't get the best number necessarily. But even if you did, if you wheel them in round robins by threes, if you go 4-4, you get killed. You get absolutely killed. So you're going to have long losing streaks, and then you're going to have smashing successes, and your overall ROI is higher. But because you got to wager less, your bankroll growth is faster just betting 2% or 3% of bankroll on each individual play.
We did not warn you. There would be math on the show today. Corey Henderson, 775. How much can you get down at Circa on the yes/no to win the college basketball natty? $3,000? No, sir. Try 50,000.
We just looked up one random team, Alabama. Now, maybe Alabama was 50,000 because they have no chance because they play no defense. But I'm sure that's representative of what the limits are in all the teams.
And Edward Lefevre, Gil, I try to never miss a segment with Steve. It's just awesome. I would love if he could do an hour like crack. There it is, Steve Fezzik.
That's great company to be in. You know what I love about Bill is that he's the real deal. I respect people that enter all these contests.
Yes, you
that
do.
That gamble, that are going out. You know what I hear all the time? Someone wins a contest like, oh, they just luck boxed into that contest. You know what? To win it, you got to be in it. And the fact that you're out about, and famously, people always say, oh, Fez lucked out. He won the Westgate, you know, back-to-back years. I won the South Point twice. Also, I won the Leroy's Money Talks. Okay, it was a long time ago. I finished 21st in the millions, you know, just 2023. And I was part of Greg Jones and, you know, on the Circus Survivor. And anyone who thinks that I just like didn't have any involvement in that.
Oh, my God. Did he
Gilly
have involvement?
Can speak to that.
He had an exhaustive amount of involvement, if you know what I mean.
Just the last month.
Steve, I'm prior on the to treadmill. That, it was all great. I don't want to talk. I'm on the treadmill. I don't want to talk about this. two more random topics here before you leave, because you texted this. This has nothing to do with anything. But we were playing tennis the other day and you said, let's talk about how, as adults, we forget what's the most fun activities to do. 14-year-olds are smarter than us.
Oh, no doubt. So my son's 14. He's a genius. But like he brings his basketball to school. And that's like it's not the calculus class. It's not the AP World History. It's not the stats class. He's a sophomore. It's the basketball that he gets to play with his friends. He has the most fun. Gilly and I play tennis. Gilly's better than I. We go out there. We compete. It's when we're done. And we're old. I'm an old guy. It just feels so good. And I'm thankful. I'm like, how many more years am I going to be able to do this? Or months or weeks? You just never know. You know, your body's going to break down. And then you look at these adults and their idea of having fun is like, oh, let me go and play slots in the casinos. Go up to Mount Charleston. Go for a hike. Mm-hmm. You forget how much fun it is, kids. Go play some pickleball. Go whatever you like doing. You know, try to get back outdoors. Try to do what you did when you were. Think about how happy you were back in junior high school, just playing, you know, touch football with your buddies.
Especially for us here at this time of year, because we have a definite window before it's almost impossible to get out there. So yes. For sure. Okay, wait. Craps. You wanted to talk about craps.
You know, famously, so many poker players, TJ Cloutier is the most famous, but they have a big edge and they win millions in poker and they give it all back at the craps table. And I'm a cyborg, you know. I mean, my left
Someone
brain
called you that earlier.
Cannot accept it. It's fine. Go to craps. Are really fun. Go there. You're not going to win. You know, go there and bet the minimum. Take your full odds. Take 2x odds. House edge is 0.6%. You know, drink your old fashions and you can drink your way into profitability with the comps. But don't like suddenly think that magically, you know, the gambling math odds are going to smile upon you and you're going to somehow find a way to win in over your career or any one session. It's just a recreation. Have fun with it and bet the minimum. But yeah, these guys, that lose it all doing that? I just can't
relate. It's all math in the end, and there's still a house edge. It's small house edge, smaller than other games, but there's still a house edge. So the longer you play, the likelier you are to lose. The certainty becomes more greater.
Well, you know, what's interesting is you don't live long enough for there to be certainty. So there are some people. Archie Karras famously played negative EV games, I believe a lot of them, and ran up to $40 million. $80 million and then lost it all playing craps and the like. But what he didn't realize is he probably ran four standard deviations better than the average bear to get there. And he's thinking he's actually doing something, you know, better than anyone else who's playing these low advantage games. He just got lucky.
Standard deviation cashes on the show. Okay, you just called yourself a cyborg. I've often said on the show, you're a robot. But all bettors have leaks. What's yours? You got to have something that you say to yourself, I know I shouldn't be doing this because you're the most robotic of all, the most mathematical, but yet I still do.
I would say laying too much vig. And so famously I lost Purdue.
Yes.
By the way, that was 2 years ago. I've been posting long shot bets since then. I lost 45 units on Purdue, number one seed in 2023 in the tournament. And
I don't let you forget that.
Number one seeds are 156-2. All right. So you did just fine if you laid minus 4,500 on all of them. But it's not that they're a one seed. It's that they're more than a 22-point favorite, which Purdue was. But I would say, like in live wagering, I was crushing live wagering for years and years. I haven't done as well of late. And a big reason we talked about it, we have a text, Gil, Bear Felica, Will Hill, Todd Wishnev. And we're always going back and forth about, you know, playing.
Many things.
Yes. I'm like, $8 fine. Too much clutter. Politics. All I know about the Ukraine is from the risk map. It's really big and you can put in a lot of
armies.
That's
a different show, Steve.
So now it's like minus 115. It's circa live wagering's minus 115. I texted Benson. I'm like, sorry, Steve. You know, we need it to be minus 115. Other places is minus 120. You know what? Think about this. If you're hitting 54%, you're styling. You're at a 3% ROI laying minus 110. If you're laying minus 120, you're bankrupt. You know, 54% ain't good enough. So you can have a bet you like, and you got to have be able to say, you know what? Just too much vig. I got to pass.
All right. So you say that as we sit here quietly when you're not in front of an app ready to make a bet. Rationally, you have a moment of thought where you can say, okay, I probably laid too much on that. But in the moment, can you stop yourself?
They're both going into the bonus, Gilly, and there's 8 minutes left.
That's
I got to play first half over. It's going to be hacking like crazy.
This is how I picture you.
Yes.
That's exactly how, because you can't stop yourself. The same way
I can't stop myself
from being an enforcer on Twitter, which I tell you shouldn't do.
I've been better.
Have you been better? Yeah, you have been, I guess.
I'm trying.
What is it about you that you can't help yourself with it?
I'll go back. I'll explain this. I used to play chess. I was a state runner-up high school in chess.
Were you really?
And I would play people.
What
and
state?
Ohio, candidate master. David Glick was the master. I drew him in the state finals, but
David
he beat everyone
Glick.
Else. I wasn't good enough to beat everyone else. David Glick. He's brilliant.
Glick.
So, hi, David. I would play a guy in like a local league, you know, Southwest Buckeye League. And I'd be playing a guy, and I'd crush him, and he'd be like, well, if I didn't make that bad rook move on the 20th move, I was winning. You were never in the game. I was like, and I could just say, I tell you what, I'll give you an hour. I'll take 1 minute on my clock. We can play right now for whatever money you want to have, because, I mean, it's fairly routine. So the great thing about chess, there's no luck in chess. And all this gambling and this stuff, the best players in the world are hitting 55%, and the worst are hitting 50%. It's all... just it's very hard to distinguish between who knows what they're doing and who doesn't, even with a sample size of 100 or 200 or even 1,000.
Stevie, we got to run. Thank you.
Thank
Always
you,
fascinating. Steve Fezzik, everybody. Chris Felica on the other side. All his bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. Time for our G-Bank best bets of the day. Every show, every host and guest on that show, all not just this one, but throughout the network, every bet in every sport recapped at the end of every show. I am on one tennis play today. Maya Joint got her at minus 119 versus Alina Avanesyan. Joint 18-year-old Australian taking on a gritty player in Avanesyan, but we got a good number here It's minus 128 now, still playable, but teetering at that number. But minus 119, again, VSiN.com/picks, it pays to subscribe. Also have Laszlo Dejere, Serbian, at plus 330 to win the clay court tournament down in Santiago, Chile. He is playing his quarterfinal match today. Did Kelly have anything? Did Kelly have anything today on the G-Bank recap? I'm not sure if he did. Let's see if he did. No, Jason did, though. Jason Weingarten. Sandy Alcantara, 25-1 to win the NL Cy Young. Jason with his first futures play or season-long bet of any kind in the Major League Baseball world that is he's become so associated with. And Steve Fezzik, by the way, had a couple. He had the Royals alternate under sort of backing up Adam Burke's handicap on the Royals under preflop number to begin with. So he went alternate season win total under here at Circa. He also wanted to add as he walked out the door that he also this was also a Burke handicap and a Sporer handicap here on a numbers game. He also then took the Washington Nationals alternate season win total over, which I believe is in the mid-60s based on where the Nationals preflop number is in the low 70s. So add those. G-Bank, once again, the official bank of VSiN. And again, every show recaps them at the end. Every pick, every sport, host and guest. G-Bank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases, pardon me, within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not just Fezzik who joins us on Fridays. It is also Felica, Chris Felica, the Bear, El Oso from Fox Sports. He, of course, is not only on Big Noon Saturdays during the college football season, but has his own sort of empire of podcasts over there. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Back from a vacation. Missed you along with Deborah Song, fashion stylist, down in Turks and Caicos.
So, yes.
It was nowhere near as enjoyable trip as it was. You weren't there. Eric and Challen weren't there. So, yeah, it was just my wife and I. So, not as enjoyable without our friends there.
Well, just in, thinking about crashing the Felica family vacation next year, perhaps. Beautiful. So we'll see. We'll
look forward to it.
We'll see. All right. Where should we start? Should we start with soccer? Because I know you have some soccer thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. I played this afternoon, Lecce under a half a goal team total against Fiorentina. Fiorentina is a team that they're right on the borders of European qualification in Serie A. They've dropped some points the last couple of matches, but they should get on the right side of things today. Lecce really struggles scoring goals away from home. So I think Fiorentina to keep a clean sheet today is a pretty good bet. I saw minus 105 at FanDuel was the best price that I had access to in Connecticut, but there might be something better out there. I don't know.
Okay. Soccer, by the way, the thing with Chris is that we go through all kinds of random sports as well. Horse racing, I know you don't consider it random because that's your bread and butter. Do you have any horses for us today?
Well, it's funny. I heard you tell the story before vacation about going to try and bet a Kentucky Derby future horse.
Yes.
That I had passed along to you and you had difficulty doing it. And full disclosure now to the audience out there, that horse is Cornucopian, who was the Bob Baffert three-year-old that broke maiden last week at Oaklawn and ran a 1-on-1 buyer, ran four lanes faster than the horse that won the Rebel. So he is still around. I think I had you check the other day. I think you said he was still around 33-1 or so.
33-1, yep.
To win the Kentucky Derby. Now, he's going to have to finish second at least in the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn coming up to make the gate. But I still think 33-1 is worth a play. Again, if this horse does qualify for the Derby, he will be one of the favorites in the race. So he romped. We'll see off the layoff if he can come back and back it up in Arkansas. But I would still play Cornucopian at 33-1. There are a couple of Derby preps this weekend. There's the Gotham at Aqueduct. It looks like a race where there's a good bit of speed signed on. Maybe you're looking for a bit of a price. Maybe take a look at the number one horse, Scorching, who comes in from Woodbine. The ownership connections actually have a lot of success in graded stakes races, but I think Scorching from just off the pace at a 10-1 in the morning line is someone that you might want to take a look at. And then the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream this weekend as well. It's a massive card at Gulfstream. Hopefully tomorrow I can get some other horse picks in some of the other stakes out there. But I think Burnham Square is going to take some money. Sovereignty will take some money. The Pletcher Horse River Thames will take some money. But I think Keep It Easy is a horse, a number eight horse for Adele Roman's horse to sprint going, stretching out from sprint to route. Dale hasn't won a bunch of graded stakes races lately, but he's had a good meet. And this horse might just be sitting just off that 4.9 speed and be able to carry it an extra couple of furlongs or so. So Keep It Easy, the number eight horse at 8-1 with someone I was looking at.
All right, to college basketball. Say I asked you to give me a double-digit long shot. No, strike that.
I got a couple of double-digit long shots in college hoops, and one of them was one that I aggregated from our good friend Todd Wishnev in the affirmation chat that Mr. Fezzik was just referring to. VCU, I got them at 60-1. I don't know if 60-1 is still out there anywhere. I know 50-1 is, but this is a team that if
you're talking about to make the Final Four, just to clarify.
Final Four, sorry, yes. Yeah. I should have prefaced that. But VCU to make the Final Four, they are a team that probably is going to wind up on the 10 or 11 line. And if you're a two or a three seed, you are not going to want to see them in the second round of the tournament. They are deep. They defend. They defend the rim, most importantly, with a couple of 6'10 guys. They got multiple players who can score. They're a massive favorite tonight. They're the best team in the A-10. I think they should get in, even if they don't win the A-10. Now, they don't have the quad one wins that a lot of teams do, but trust me, this team can play. Todd vouches for him as well. He was on him before I was, and I started paying attention to it. I'm like, yeah, this is a team that really reminds me of when they made that Final Four run a few years back. So VCU 60-1 was the team I played to make the Final Four. And then I played Ole Miss at 35-1 to make the Final Four. Again, I am a Chris Beard fan. I think he is a great tournament coach. And it was funny because I had talked about this a little bit on the Bear Bets pod, and the fan of the show, Trip Tepper, sent me a DM on Twitter as well. And we were going back and forth, and he brought up something that was one of the reasons why I thought Ole Miss to make the Final Four was a good bet, was because of Beard. And you get that quick turnaround in the second round, and maybe when if they get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, his ability to adjust and plan and other teams having to prepare for him on short notice, that's an edge. Ole Miss can be maddening to watch, but the SEC is a deep league, and I think they might be a little bit overlooked. So Ole Miss to reach the Final Four at 35-1 was another double-digit dart throw that I had there.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. Let's go to baseball. I think, Chris, that the first time you and I ever met, ever hung out, we were at the Westgate, and you were betting season-long baseball individual stuff.
Yes, I was.
That was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. And I remember, I was funny, because I remember, you know, we were looking at, there was something in there about will a player have however many stolen bases it was, and I'm like,
yes,
stolen bases are going down now. It was a really high, it was a higher number than you thought, and I don't think it came close to going over.
That was exactly the prop. You're absolutely right. I had forgot that was exactly the prop at the time.
That was fun. We need to do that again. Let's hang out again when I'm out there in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
The NHC. But yeah, I played a couple of individual player props in terms of to lead the league in. I played Bobby Witt Jr. to lead the league in doubles. That was around just shy of double digits. Maybe it was like plus 950 or so. He was second in majors last year with 45. Type of player who can stretch out singles into doubles. So I took a shot with him. And then I played Mookie Betts to lead the majors in runs scored. He's done it three times before. The Dodgers lineup is loaded. He probably would have done it again last year had he not gotten hurt. That's obviously always a thing you got to worry about with a player like Betts. He tries so hard and plays so hard that he's liable to get hurt. So I took him to lead the league in runs as well. And then I had a little bit of a dark throw on a home run leader. Again, I know you got to deal with Shohei. You got to deal with Aaron Judge and all the other guys. But Mark Vientos of the Mets at 50-1 was someone I played to lead the league in home runs. Maybe he's the one that benefits now from Juan Soto being in that lineup. First full season last year, 111 games, had 27 homers. Extrapolate that out, he could be a 40 home run guy and maybe be in the mix at a nice number. Who knows?
Soccer, horse racing, college hoops, and baseball from Chris Velika.
Just wait until we do women's Euros this summer.
Yes. can't wait. Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on the Twitter machine. Bear Bets Pod also on Twitter as well. Thank you, Chris. Good luck this weekend. Stormy is next. Money Moves right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.